Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to the Book Club. I'm here with Niamh Towey, Anne Ingle and Bernice Harrison. And this month we are talking about Old Babes in the Wood, a collection of short stories by the amazing Margaret Atwood, who we've been lucky enough to have on this podcast a couple of times. She is celebrated all around the world as one of the most gifted storytellers that we have. I'll just read the little blurb, as I always do. These stories explore the full warp and weft of experience, from two best friends disagreeing about their shared past to the right way to stop someone from choking, from a daughter determining if her mother really is a witch, to what to do with inherited relics such as Second World War parade swords. The stories feature beloved cats, a confused snail, George Orwell, Hypatia of Alexandria, a cabal of elderly female academics, and an alien tasked with retelling human fairy tales. At the heart of the collection is a stunning sequence that follows a married couple as they travel the road together, the moments big and small that make up a long life of love and what comes after. And the critics really raved about it. They say there's no greater living writer. She's a living legend, funny, sharp, witty and clever. But Anne Ingle, you are the same age as Margaret Atwood, 83 and nearly 84. What did you think of Old Babes in the Wood, being a bit of an old babe in the wood yourself?
Thanks a lot, Ruth. Great.
You see what I did there?
Yes. Well, the first thing I'd say is it's really difficult to review a book of stories. You know, it's one thing when you're reading a novel and having to say things about it. But when it's stories, it's different because they're also little entities in themselves. This particular book of short stories, Old Babes in the Wood, comprises three sections. It starts off with Tig and Nell, and then it goes on to a section called My Evil Mother, and then we're back to Nell and Tig again. So as Roisin's already said, Margaret Atwood and myself are the same age, so I can identify with a lot of the themes in this book of short stories, particularly the last section, Nell and Tig. Tig has died, and Nell relates memories of their life together and talks of the ageing process and being alone. She is left to live like a student with makeshift meals that he would have hated. Do you know the way it is when you've got a man to cook for? It's a whole other story. You're on your own. You just, I'll have a bit of that, a bit of this.
Girl dinners, they call it.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. But nevertheless, it's not sentimental or lacrimose. And seeing that Atwood recently lost her husband of many years, it comes from her own recent experience. It's like she's letting younger readers know what is in store, and she does it so well. Now, the middle section contains stories, as Roisin has just read from the blurb, that cover an awful lot of diverse matters, to say the least. And they could only emanate from Atwood's amazing imagination. For example, there's a story called Impatient Griselda, which is a monologue delivered by an octopus-like alien storyteller sent to Earth as a part of an aid package in response to a deadly plague. Very much COVID-related. And another free-for-all is set in a future world in which a deadly sexually transmitted disease has devastated society. So you can get the picture. We're going back into her love of the science fiction and all that kind of thing. And if that's your thing, well, you know, you'll enjoy those stories, but some of them don't, for me, quite hit the mark. Like the one about the snail, there's one called The Journey of the Soul. It's narrated by the soul of a snail forced to share a human body. It's a kind of funny, But I don't know really what it's supposed to mean. It captured my imagination, all right, this nail being a human, but really and truly at the end of it, I was just left saying, well, what was that all about?
It's called also metempsychosis, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't say that word.
So basically, metempsychosis, and it's about this snail who ends up in a human body and really doesn't like the experience of being in a human body.
Yes, but that word was too much for me, that metempsychosis. Okay. Yeah, okay. But thanks for that, putting that bit in.
I just thought I'd put it in.
That's right, you're right. The Dead Interview is another story where she talks to George Orwell and is conducted through a medium. And that, I thought, was a bit self-indulgent. I mean, and maybe it's something she would have loved to have done in real life at one stage, talk to George Orwell. But for me, it really didn't come across. I didn't get the message. And I actually am a great fan of George Orwell myself. I really love his work. But the one I did like in the middle of the whole thing was the Airborne Symposium, in which the three retired academics meet for dinner and drinks in a garden, keeping outside fear of infection. So we've got another COVID reference there. They all have to sit in the garden. I thought that was great. The feminist talk between these mature academic women was very funny. They talked about the books they had written and the subsequent fallout, particularly when you're writing as a woman. One of them says, if you publish your book and you've got a C-word body part, you're a hate magnet. So there's all sorts of trolling and bad reviews that they got from the things where they were being absolutely honest about what they thought of things. From the last section, Wooden Box is a lovely story. It's really beautifully done. It relates to Tig and Nell's last days together. Mm. And a quote from that is, neither of them had any control over it, this gradual departure of his life. It just was inevitable and it was just happening. And she gets into bed and she says, don't go, when he's asleep in bed. And, you know, it's a very poignant story, which I think is really beautifully done.
Because you think, Mom, I mean, sorry to know she's not here, but, you know, her husband, Graham, who died, as you said, I feel like Tig and Nell tells very much the story of their incredible relationship.
Yes.
I mean, he was a poet as well, and an artist, and so they had this very deep kind of culturally significant
That comes across in all this, every time that she writes about the death of the husband. And then The Widows is another short piece that's simply a letter from Nell describing life after Tig's departure. It's very personal and says more than the recipient would want to hear. And so subsequently she rewrites it in a more conventional way because she's laying it all out there, you know, in that particular thing. She says, but I don't want any casseroles or oblique probing questions or visits from professionals or nieces talking me into buying an assisted care condo. And no, I don't want to go on a cruise. All that kind of advice that one would get as a widow, like, you know, this is pull yourself together, go on a cruise. Last thing you want to do. So there's 15 stories in the whole thing. And the first one is called First Aid. They go on a course together where they're learning about how to look after themselves in the event of different things happening. But at the end, they realise that it's better to just live life without pondering on the outcomes or uncertainties or how to avoid things. And, you know, it's just the way that she does that at the end when she says, the ultimate message for me was, had they been that careless, that oblivious, they had. Obliviousness had served them well. Mm. And really, I think that's what we all have to do. You know, just get on with it and be oblivious to all the things that are going to happen to you. And when you're younger and you're in the midst of your life, you're working away and it's easy to be oblivious because you have so much to do and so much to think about. But as you get older, you do start thinking a little bit more because you have more time to do so. But I think it's best to go on and be oblivious. Mm. But as for the whole book, now, it wouldn't be for everybody, I don't think, this book, because it is so varied. I just loved the first section and the last section, and they would have been a book for me if you'd have done a bit more of that kind of stuff. It would have been a lovely novella about, like, a dedication, really, to him, the husband that's gone.
Because I think it is dedicated to him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, I don't mean dedicated in that way. I mean that it was all about him and her relationship.
Yeah.
And, of course, she then throws it in the middle section, all her usual well, not usually, you know what I mean? It's not hackneyed or anything. It's all
original
stuff. Mm. But it's all appeared in magazines and newspapers, or most of it has before. So people have had privy to it. So overall, as I say, I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, but except I do really like the way she's handled the Tig and Nell and their relationship together.
Thanks. I think your point that you made earlier is really a good one about almost, it reads a lot of it like a note for younger people about growing older, about how to appreciate life, about the things that are important, mm-hmm. the things that aren't important. It's like Margaret Atwood has lived through it. She's coming to the end and she's, with her brilliant brain, she's sort of forewarning, I think, people who are younger. So I do think that even though it's called Old Babes in the Woods and it is very much a lot of it about experience of older people are in most of the stories, that I don't think that younger people necessarily enjoy it either, because I think if you're looking for those clues or those insights and that
they
wisdom.
They don't want to know. Younger people really don't want to know.
But it's like in that same story that you just quoted from, no one knows the final outcome, though why is it called an outcome? No one comes out eventually. We aren't going to make it out of here alive, Tig used to say as a joke, although it wasn't one. And if you did guess, if you could foresee, would that be better? No. You'd live in grief all the time. You'd be mourning things that hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good opening of the whole thing about digging up.
Just get on with life and
so Bernice, for you, could I start by asking you about that middle section and the more sort of maybe science fiction ones? How did they land for you? Because some people would have loved them. And the only thing I thought about a couple of those was that I would love them to be longer, or I'd almost like one of those to be a novel rather than a short story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say I completely agree with just about everything Anne has said.
Thank you.
Completely. Is this the first collection of short stories we've read in our book club? I think the interesting thing about being in a book club, well, there's many interesting things, but is that it makes you sort of question how you read, not just what you're reading, it's how you read. And so I often find myself questioning how I read and, you know, the things that I'm sort of the genres that I'm against and all that. So the book club has made me think about all these sort of things. And I think a short story collection for me is not really very suitable for a book club, because for me, I could take a year to read a collection of short stories, because it's the sort of thing I'd have by the bed.
Yeah.
And when I'm not in the mood for my book, I might pick it up and pick out the shorter short story and read that. Or if I'm going on a longer journey on a train, I might, you know, read the longer, you know. So in other words, I'm not racing towards the finish. I'm picking it up and putting it down. So with the result, that does make it slightly tricky for a book club, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then also that sort of pick and mix type approach. I'm conscious that when a writer is putting together a book of short stories, they very carefully think of the sequence and they very carefully think of the shape of the book. But sure, you know, as a reader, I'm not following that. And in fact, I didn't read, Old Babes in the Wood, the short story that appeared in The New Yorker. And the fantastic thing is Margaret Atwood read it.
Oh, brilliant.
So you can hear her reading it.
Yeah.
So that was my first introduction to this book. And that story is, in fact, the last story in the collection here. So, yeah, for me, absolutely. The stories that I wanted to read and I wanted to read more of and that really struck home were the Tig and Nell ones. And Tig, we should say, is a man. I was reading it originally in the very first story, and I wasn't sure what Tig was her husband. And I love them. I love them as a couple. Particularly Nell is portrayed as a very interesting kind of woman.
Absolutely.
She's this can-do sort of woman. You know, she's very stoic, can-do. But of course, underneath all this, she's in deep, deep, deep in grief for her Tig, who was her life partner, who had died. So I love those stories, the Tig and Nell stories. I was so happy just to read them. And I found myself dipping my toe into the middle stories, the futuristic, sci-fi, magic realistic kind of stories. And I thought, and then again, you think, well, is this just the mood? If I pick it up again another day, am I going to think differently about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I suppose, a book collection of short stories does give you that kind of option. I thought you mentioned one of the stories in this middle section, Free for All. I like that very much because, of course, for a lot of people, I mean, it's hard to emphasize how prolific Margaret Atwood has been. I mean, her previous novels, our previous books, it's not novels only, there's children books, there's nonfiction, there's novels, there's shorter fiction, there's poetry. That takes up 2 pages at the start of the book. The whole list. It's extraordinary. So
tell people about Free For All, though.
Well, Free For All. Now, I'll tell you why. I really like Free For All, because Free For All reminded me of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
And I think maybe perhaps a lot of people might be coming to Margaret Atwood now, fresh, just really maybe on foot of seeing The Handmaid's Tale on the telly. And there is something about Free For All, this matriarchy, this woman-dominated culture that you know, selects partners for each other because they want to have babies that live, that won't be contaminated by this disease that's communicated by kissing. And so it has, and there's a very strict dress code and all that. So it does have echoes of The Handmaid's Tale. And I think people who like The Handmaid's Tale will love that. But that's as far as I got into the middle section of those stories dealing with that. I didn't love that. Now, maybe I will. Maybe I'll go back. I have a whole year to read this now. Let's face it. So, but I think for just the Tig and Nell short stories, for them alone, I say yes, absolutely.
Brilliant. And speaking of that middle section, I really liked the Evil Mother story. I thought she really got the mother-daughter thing, and I thought it was very funny. So it's about this really weird mother woman who sort of makes out to her daughter that she's a witch. She grows up a single mother on her own, and she pretends that the father is, she's transformed him into a garden gnome, which sounds weird in the garden. But anyway, this young one grows up with this mother who's very eccentric, and just the arc of that story and how it comes around and how it has echoes in her own parenting then at the very end. I loved that as a little short story myself. It wasn't science fiction-y so much. It was quite real, yes. But maybe it had that magic realism.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Niamh, you're the youngest of the group, and these stories, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of them are feature older people or that sense of aging or loss or grief or death. How did you find it? Because had you read Margaret Atwood before in other?
I had read The Handmaid's Tale. I hadn't watched the series, but and I mean, we're all fans of that book. I think we can take that as a given. But I had kind of forgotten, I suppose, approaching this, that, of course, The Handmaid's Tale is kind of sci-fi in genre, which wouldn't be my cup of tea, to say the least. And also, I'd echo what Bernice said, short stories aren't really for me either. I find them difficult. And I also agree with you, Bernice. I think they can take a bit more time, because each short story you read needs its own kind of period of reflection. So you can't just skip straight into next chapter after next chapter, which I ended up doing in this because I was caught for time reading it. So I read them all in one go. And like, there's a couple of short stories she has in there that you'd need the cultural references. You'd need to have read the stuff that she's referencing in it. Like a lot of the passage where she interviews George Orwell through a medium, which is funny. Like, so much of it was like, I was like, is she high? Or, how is she coming up with this?
Is she high?
Yeah, it was like bizarre. Her imagination knows no bounds. Like that, I definitely got that from it. Whereas I thought The Handmaid's Tale was just a way of portraying the awfulness of being a woman often through this benign world. So the George Orwell one, okay, we all know kind of the outline in 1984, but there was a lot of references. She was questioning him about other work that he had done that I wasn't familiar with. And so I like kind of went over my head a small bit. Mm. Same thing goes for the one that's based on the story of Griselda, which is an old folklore tale, which I wasn't familiar with. So a lot of the references, and because the short stories are so short, you don't really have time to familiarise yourself with the background. You have to already know it if you're going to actually get the buzz out of it that she's trying to portray. So there were a couple of the stories that went over my head. But having said that, some of them are just so incredibly entertaining for what they were that it didn't really matter. I know you didn't like the one about the snail, Anne, but I really enjoyed the one about the snail. The bit where they have sex and she wants to stab him in the ear with her receptacle that. Because she thinks she's still a snail. Like, it's so funny.
I know that lettuce... And yeah. give me bad fruit.
And she really wants her slime back. Like, she really wants her slime back. And she goes to the psychiatrist and the psychiatrist is like, I think we're running out of time here, because she's telling him that, really, you don't understand because I'm a snail. And it's just really funny. I really enjoyed that one. And I'm not a fan of sci-fi, but some of them are just hilarious. Some of them are just really funny. So there's a lot in it, I think, that'll keep you going, that'll just have you roaring laughing. There's other bits then, like, as I said, that went over my head. But I think the real anchors in this book are Tig and Nell, or Nell and Tig. And I read both of those passages first before I went into the short stories.
Idea.
And I think that's actually kind of a pretty good way to do it as well.
If you're
like, especially when you're approaching a book for a book club, I want to get a sense of what is this about? Like, what is the kind of overarching theme of what she's trying to do in this book? And I think that the Tig and Nell sections give you that. So, I read there's a review that says, a glowing review about this book, but they say that Atwood, she has three different visions. She looks forward, she looks back, and she also assesses things with a different outcome, meaning kind of sci-fi. Mm. But this very much felt to me like a look back book, and the Tig and Nell sections assess all of that really well. And I think my favourite part out of the Tig and Nell stories was the one where she's talking about Tig's father, who had been in World War II. He was this really damaged veteran who tried to put on a kind of sunny side, and she never really felt like she got under the skin of who he really was and the things that had affected him, until he dies and she comes across poetry of his that he'd written during the war. And it's all about, like, it's very like, she doesn't quite understand what he's getting at, but it seems to reference this lover he had, or maybe an unrequited love, whilst he was at war. And it's just fascinating, because the poems, I assume she's written herself, but she's unpicking the poems for what they mean. And it's so fascinating to see a writer like Atwood unpick her own poetry and see what's meant by it. And apart from all of that, it just... And I mean, the real master in her work is that she really explores what it is to have lived a certain life and what it is to look back on this really long and varied life. And she does that through that character. But you can tell she's such an experienced woman with this great, massive knowledge of so many things in life, that I think just because I'm younger, wouldn't put me off. It's not, obviously, I can't relate to it. You don't have to relate to everything to appreciate it. And I really thought that this was an excellent, excellent piece of work by Atwood. And I felt really happy to be given it and put in my hands. Not sure I would have picked it up otherwise.
Yeah. Roisin, what did you think?
Yeah, I hate to be agreeing with everybody. I don't get along the best with science fiction, but I actually liked Free for All. And I did enjoy the snail one as well. And I'm trying to think of the another one the giant octopus and all that. They're kind of entertaining, but I wonder I'm sure there was a discussion with the publisher, probably, do we just put this Tig and Nell stuff together? Is this other stuff a separate book? I suppose that's a debate they probably had and decided, let's put them all together, because they were all there as a body of work. But I find I know what you're saying about goes over your head and all that, but it just feel like you feel more intelligent after reading it. Because then you go off and you maybe look something up or it reminds you of something. And she just feeds the brain, I think, as well as the heart, though, because a lot of it's very down to earth, just about human relationships, about aging, about loss, about grief and all that. She does that so well.
That's the amazing thing, that she can write in those two different ways. Like, you know, it's very down to earth. We can all understand
it's
completely.
It's ordinary. It's about boiled eggs. And
yet she can go into her flights of imagination then. Yeah. So that's her gift, you know.
But and also, don't you get from her, and I think in everything she does, her fascination with just the human condition and with people.
Yeah.
You tell that she just is very interested in all sorts of... Who's our favourite? Like Anne Tyler mum. In a way, her work reminds me a little bit of Anne Tyler's work in just family dynamics and relationships and all of that thing, the way Anne Tyler does it so well as well. But
there's no sense, sure there isn't, that Margaret Atwood, as we said, she's 83, there's no sense that of diminished powers.
Not at all.
No, I mean, there's no sense.
She has got a fantastic point. You see, in the acknowledgements, I think I was very interested in reading the acknowledgements because she kind of says, she references people who are keeping her going. So I'd say there's a kind of entourage.
Yeah, but I mean, they
she's completely plugged into what's going on.
They're keeping going in terms of writing stories.
No, I mean to say actually physically
keeping
going.
But she's got an amazing support network, as you would, though, after like six decades of doing this business. I mean, she in the acknowledgement, she talks about retired agents, retired editors, the people who've been with her for decades.
And she's still
the new
going.
People, and she's still there putting out the material, you know. And also the other strain in all her writing and in this book particularly is nature as well. You've got the sense of the woods as in the title and the kind of that seclusion. And obviously, again, she and her husband, Graham, loved that quiet kind of nature life. And she very much grew up in that kind of life as well. I think she was... You know, they were always a very self-sufficient kind of family.
Canada is very much a part of that Tig and Nell thing, yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm glad we did it. I know it's a bit out, it's after, it was published a while back. It's not like a new book or anything, but we'd recommend it to everyone, I think.
We don't want to do a book of short stories again, though, in this
book. Do we not? No. We made that decision and we've come to that conclusion.
I think Bernice has said it.
Well, funny enough, I have a book of Kate Atkinson short stories at home that I'm dying to read.
Well, you can keep them and read them yourself, but don't bring them in here, for God's sake.
Okay, happy birthday to you.
Well, I do think it is challenging for a book club.
That's, absolutely.
Yeah,
I just do think it is. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not, though, but...
For me, it's very, very difficult to kind of do that.
Well, I was thinking as we were talking about maybe in the future we should do a Claire Keegan special where we each take, because they're kind of short stories essentially, but they're each in their own little novella. So if one of us did Small Things Like These, one of us did Foster. She has a new short story out, which is not published yet, but I've read it because it's online, which is incredible. And I think maybe we should dedicate a book club to Claire Keegan.
Yeah, happy to do that.
Oh my goodness. Mm. What a voice, what a talent. And again, they're short stories, though, but they're just in one little book.
Yeah.
Because I think your point, Niamh, is really good. After you've read one short story, you almost need that little, okay, now, what should I think
of that?
Let it wash over you. How do I feel? And I did the same as you. I sped read the short stories, which probably wasn't the best idea.
Because you think, oh, they're short, great.
That's really great. But you do need that moment at the end to go, and to think about it and to see where that, and that's the way they're supposed to be read. So maybe the lesson has been learned. But I'm still glad we did it anyway.
I'm still glad. And I think I do agree, even though I'm a huge fan of Margaret Atwood, I actually don't think I would have picked up this book. So I'm glad we did it.
Okay, that's very good. Okay, well, I hope everyone else enjoyed reading it as well, and let us know what you think. Thank you very much as always, and happy birthday, Anne Ingle.
Happy birthday,
Anne. You're 84 now by the time this book podcast goes out.
Yes, tomorrow I'll be 84, that's right.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, thank you.
And thanks to Niamh Towie and Bernice Harrison, as always. And we'll let you know what our next book is in due course.
Thanks, Roisin.
Thanks a lot.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.